Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Voices of the Gig Economy podcast. My name is Alexander Petridis. I'm here today with a conversation with a former Uber driver. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your experience driving for Uber?
Hello, good to be here speaking with you. I drove Uber during my college years. I would drive part-time a few days a week for about 5 hours a day. But that was at first. After my studies, I tried being a full-time driver because I couldn't find another job. But eventually, once I found other employment, I abandoned Uber work. I'm glad it existed because it was the perfect job for someone who's doing this part-time while pursuing something. But full-time, it wasn't for me.
So is it something you can see yourself going back to drive part-time if you had the opportunity to do so?
No, I'll never do it again unless it is my last resort. My philosophy is every minute I waste doing Uber is a minute I waste not doing or pursuing my career job. If I drove Uber 20 years from now, I would still be living paycheck to paycheck with no savings. Currently, I have a decent job with benefits. I could drive on the weekends and make a couple of bucks, but I'd rather study and learn skills that will drastically change my life financially than drive Uber for the temporary gratification I will get from the extra change. Driving Uber isn't a viable full-time job.
That's interesting. Can you expand more on that? Why can't someone drive Uber full-time? Is it the pay, lack of benefits, or out-of-pocket expenses maybe?
Uber is a side hustle. It's a rideshare, not a limo taxi service. There's plenty of driving or other jobs out there that are more dependable with better pay and benefits. If you have a good day job, Uber is great for people like that need to make extra money, but have responsibilities that don't allow set schedules. With this gig, you can get in a car and go online anytime you find a window to do so and stop at any time. You hear stories of people making hundreds of thousands of dollars on Uber, but those people are being exploited as they are working 100 hours a week. It's not healthy.
Are you familiar with legislative efforts to give Uber drivers and other gig workers benefits such as Prop 22 in California, which for those that don't know is a ballot measure currently being voted for to determine whether Uber and other rideshare gig platforms must classify their workers as employees? A ton of lobbying money has already been spent on this, and the results will certainly be interesting for the future of gig work.
Of course, things like healthcare and paid time off are great, and drivers deserve them. But to think most drivers with Uber do so because they don't want to be traditional employees. There are other jobs, minimum wage protections and benefits are already offered by these jobs. So there isn't a need to change the gig economy. I understand it's not for everyone. But the ability to work whenever you want is important. These apps aren't perfect, but it's nice having the ability to go online and work for 20 minutes or 10 hours. And for the most part, I can work wherever I want. If a city needs 100 drivers on a Friday night, Uber can't allow 400 to go online. If they are on the hook for a minimum wage plus benefits for every driver with or without a ride, they will have to control when and where you work. They will choose your trips. This will be like any other job. Chipotle doesn't let people come into work, clock in, make 4 burritos, clock out, collect 4 burritos worth of money, and walk out for a reason. I think they need to go after the companies, not the drivers.
Obviously, these issues will only continue to gain traction as the gig economy continues to grow. Have you observed any noticeable changes as far as the gig economy is concerned during this COVID-19 pandemic? And what do you see as the future of gig work?
Well, for some people, it is a cost benefit. You are having expenses when driving an Uber and risking your own health. But if you sit at home and collect unemployment or stimulus checks, that is more money than Uber and no risk. We have more and more people that are ordering food delivery and not just food. But more and more areas are starting to rely on delivery, and that all comes back to gig drivers. The infrastructure is being changed in that, I agree. It is getting bigger, but that is not necessarily a bad thing. The non-gig economy is where the issues are too. School and rent are expensive. Jobs refuse to give us enough hours because healthcare is too expensive. The gig economy allows you to work 80 plus hours a week because Uber doesn't have to pay healthcare or overtime. It allows us to save some money for school each year so that you may one day have a 40-hour work week instead of needing 80 hours. There are pros and cons to both, but one thing is for sure, the large companies will benefit either way. We have to do what's best for the workers.
So that's the second time now you mentioned the larger company. Do you believe that employers and gig platforms have responsibility to treat their workers with a certain amount of decency?
I believe they should be held responsible by paying their taxes. How those taxes are allocated is not my job. I'm not sure. But I know that gig jobs, as they are now, are a unique spot for a lot of people who can't or don't want 9-to-5 jobs. And changing them to be more like 9-to-5 jobs is not the answer, I don't think.
So if you don't mind me sharing, we had originally met on a subreddit called r/UberDrivers. What has your experience been like with the greater community of Uber drivers and specifically on a dedicated forum like Reddit?
It is interesting because at first I found the subreddit because I was looking for tips like a get-rich-quick scheme of how to maximize my earnings. But then I quickly found that it was like a place to vent with others that know the experience. It was like therapy, but I don't think it works. The Reddit has become increasingly fueled by anger and hate, so it isn't healthy to stay on too long, especially with the discussion of Prop 22. I still browse it even though I don't drive anymore.
Okay. So then is there anything that we as consumers or outsiders take for granted when interacting with the gig economy or taking advantage of gig work?
You know, I have also been thinking about this a lot ever since I stopped driving Uber. I think the impact of customer review is very underrated, or at least for consumers it is. You don't realize, but especially for Uber, it isn't so much the business and tips we live off of, but also the review. And for Uber, unless you are a driver, you probably don't know anything less than a 5-star review is a poison pill. It really hurts your ability to get business. So in the sense that the consumers have a lot of power in the gig economy because user rating is tied to quality, or at least that's what people think is quality. And some people don't rate at all. They just take advantage.
So now that you have moved on to more traditional employment, is there anything you miss about being a gig worker, so to speak?
Yes, of course. The flexibility is the best part. As I have said, working your own hours. But even that quickly becomes working hours because you must or simply have to make enough money to truly get the most out of gig jobs. You need an existing safety blanket. For me, I went from making money on the side to help keep above water until I graduated to someone who was working more than 9-to-5 so I could make a livable income. It is not so much flexibility in working less hours, but working whatever hours you want. So I guess I don't miss it because I no longer need it.
Sounds like you believe the current place the gig economy has is doing more good than harm. Is that right to assume?
Yes, it's an option. It's not for everyone, but it has to be there. But I'm not sure it's going in the right direction. It is too saturated now. My friend who drives has told me that with so many orders from Uber Eats, the base fare on that has been ridiculously low. In the 3 years I used to drive, $3 was the minimum on base fare. And even then, that was far too low to go without guaranteed tip. Now they started to update the app to start showing tips, and this had led them to cut it even more. They're always acting like they're trying to help us with our wages. But base fare is now around the 145. Imagine waiting in a parking lot and you get an order that didn't have a tip included and you only make $2. Absolutely ridiculous.
But gig jobs continue to be the cheapest form of labor for these platforms. This circles back to Prop 22 again. Without a mandate to regulate these employers, the pay will only go further down as more people enter the workforce. Don't you agree?
This is the way I see it. If you plan on being a driver long term for the next 10-20 years, then being an employee is the right choice. For the 75% or more of drivers who are driving a short-term or part-time gig, it works.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything else you'd like to add that hasn't been mentioned already?
I'm not sure, but I will say this. I definitely do not think this conversation will end with a Prop 22 decision. So while it is important, I think it's just a stepping stone. And as the industry grows and there are more and more stakeholders, it will be even harder to change.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the gig economy is going anywhere anytime soon. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, and thanks to everyone for listening.